I cannot wait to get started. So, Brad, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then I'll let you take over.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's so good seeing you too, and it's so nice seeing everybody. Josh, who was just on, he's great. Always love listening to him. It looks like you got a lot of great people who are still with us tonight. So thank you for having me. And now I get to flip the script on you guys a little bit. I've been on your shows, and even though this is yours tonight, I'd like to take the opportunity, give everybody watching a chance to hear from you guys. So I've put a list of questions together about your work and different things you do that I think would be very beneficial for anybody watching live or during the playback. So you guys ready for some back and forth?
Yep. Can't wait.
Let's do
Bring
it.
it.
All right, here we go. All right, so here we go. All right, Josh, you're a former administrator of 10 years. We know
Yep.
that. Charlie, you're a former teacher turned therapist. Your story is incredible. We've talked about it many years. And you two recently published a book together. Now, how are you two using this book to help school leaders improve their own school behavior plan?
Ooh, there's a big plan there. Josh, I'm going to have you start because you're that former administrator. So use that lens.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I have a different lens because obviously, we have three tenets. So if you don't know anything about the book, the language of behavior has consider your environment, which is tenet one. The second one is exploring the breakdown, and three is responding intentionally. And so Charlie and I do a lot of different things. So that could look like a keynote presentation. It could look like a cohort model, which I mean we've done with several schools already, but then also like providing resources that they can implement tomorrow. So for me specifically, I tend to land, Charlie, in the tenet three, which is the responding intentionally, because as our speakers have talked about today, our kids are going to make mistakes. And at some point, we need to make sure that, we're making decisions based on what their actual actions are versus just having this kind of ISS, OSS, detention, punitive disciplinary action. And so I love working with folks as far as like the discipline matrix, kind of reconfiguring that, but then also implementing things that we talk about in the book, like the push-in model, or, and there's a lot of different words. I know like trauma-informed practices or restorative practices kind of become buzzwords, but really just being intentional about looking at the teach piece. Because if we look at discipline, the true word or meaning of that is to teach. It's to be a disciple. And I think we've gone over time away from that, similar to what Jonathan was talking about, in the 50s and the 60s. And when we look at like John Hattie's work that Mitch had talked about, the efficacy, one of the highest negatives to learning is the fact that we are using ISS and OSS as a punitive measure. And we've already talked through all the things that occur with that, as far as loss of work, loss of time, not being with the expert. But then also, the thing that we don't discuss is that breakdown in the relationship between the student and the teacher, or the student and the administrator, that's providing a consequence that really doesn't relate to the action. What about you, Charlie?
Yeah, well, I look at it from that therapist perspective of like a behavior plan. So what do we have to think about? Well, we have to think about what are we coming in with? We've heard a lot about that today, you guys. Like, we're the ones who have to show up. Okay, but I want to give you some really important things to think about. What we're seeing in our classrooms in our building are behaviors that are bothering us. They're frustrating us. We don't know what to do. So we don't know what to, when we don't know what to do, we often do nothing, avoid, get really frustrated about it though, and take that home with us. That's no good. Or we do the same darn thing that we did in the past that wasn't working in the first place. And so we have to make those shifts, but we can't make them too big because it's too much. We can't handle too much more. So we have to integrate into everyday practice. Well, what are we seeing? We're seeing the behaviors. Well, what's underlying that? There's a lot of neurodivergence going on in our schools. I've been working so much with kids who are neurodivergent. So that's ADHD. There's some dyslexia that you can put in there. There's autism spectrum disorder. And it all doesn't have to be a disorder. It is just noticing that our nervous system gets dysregulated in some kids, like for example, who have ADHD, their nervous system gets dysregulated very quickly. And so they're in a system that doesn't support that very well. They need movement. They need the noise levels of bother them. Lights, different kinds of like lighting and stuff could bother them a little bit more. Think of people in your building or your classrooms as a bunch of nervous systems. And where are they? Are they dysregulated or are they just like on the edge of it? So we just have to be aware of that. And anxiety is happening. It's a big topic right now. Anxiety, depression, symptoms are there. And I always hesitate with saying depression because depressive symptoms can be underlying anxiety, can be underlying trauma, unprocessed trauma. So these are the kinds of things I look at and I'm like, okay, well, what can we do? How do we do this? Well, let's think about how we can make that environment a little bit more calming. Or how do we learn to teach kids to move through the discomfort? How to get, like, acknowledge that discomfort, but help them move through it. And so if we have that confidence in ourselves and we have that relationship with them where they trust us, we get to challenge them a little bit more. And that's what I'm learning as a therapist that's working well in our schools when I can bring that relationship into the building so that the teacher can take that on. That's how we're going to make a difference because there's only one of, me, one, two, maybe three therapists if we're lucky in a school. We got to get the other adults on board with these skills. So that's a little bit of my perspective, but I know there's so much more to this, Brad. Is there something else you'd like to know? Because there's so much.
Well, there's so much, and I've known both of you for quite a long time, and following your work, and had great conversations with you, and even been on site with you to see the impacts you're having. So I want to frame this next question. I want you to think about it like this. Think about the education system, and the system as a whole. So systematic type things. Now, you both deliver keynotes all over the country. We do work together. You're both keynotes. You do professional development, but let's really think about the keynote aspect of it. So, when you deliver keynotes, I'd like to know, what is your core message that you are looking to give? And in that relation, what transformation would you like to see in today's education system? So, speak about your messaging, and then, what does that transformation look like? If you could change something, what would that look like?
Go, John.
Josh, Charlie, who would like to
All
start
right,
there?
I'll start and then we'll go to you, Josh. Okay. The transformation in me has to be resounding hope that it can get better. Otherwise, we're in despair and we're not moving with confidence and energy through that, simply. Okay, so we've got to get confident. And when we're equipped well, we build that confidence. So if I'm giving a message and we're trying to make a transformation, I'm saying, listen, get those people who are ready for this, who want to build that confidence, who are ready for that, because we need to equip them with the skills. And then we need to work from the system within and spread it out. That's where the transformation is going to come. We cannot wait for political and social changes to transform our systems. It's just not going to be long enough. Like, we don't have enough time for that. So we need to work from within and we need to equip the people within the system. And then we need to see that wave of change from within and out. Josh, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking my 3-year-old's having some behaviors behind me.
Bring her
That's
up.
why it's the language of behavior, right? All right. So when working with schools and doing keynotes and things, I think mine is really giant, similar to what Charlie's talking about, is just kind of making that mindset shift, because a lot of times we're all about the correction piece, but we need to understand that we need a connection before a correction. And so working through that relationship, how to build, be proactive, but then on the flip side of exploring what we're seeing and what those behaviors truly look like, because a lot of times it's nonverbal and we're not trained in that. We go through our teacher degree programs, and there's a very small piece just to classroom management. And then you're thrust into the classroom with 30, 35 kids, and you're just supposed to be the expert. And as we know, we typically don't get comfortable until year 3, 4, 5, 20 years into the profession before you figure it out. And so for Charlie and I, and specifically my keynote, I'm trying to show what that breakdown looks like, so that way we can decode it and truly understand what might be underlying that, what the trigger might be. And really, it's an educational piece. But on the flip side, also showing there's a connection between parenthood and being a teacher. And I use my kids all the time. I have 6 kids. I have a small fleet at home, which you probably hear behind me. And so it's ranged from 3 to 18. And my wife and I became foster parents. And through that training, we learned quite a bit between what a typical discipline looks for a child in our home versus what it looks like in schools. And for my kids, if I was to just put them in their room for 8 hours after an infraction in the home, I would be looked at as a terrible parent. But in schools, that happens all the time. And then we don't do anything with it. We just shove them in a room and just expect that they're going to reflect. They're going to have a different outcome when they go back to the classroom, that they've built new skills, and that the relationship's going to be wonderful between the teacher and the student. And as we know, that's not the case. And so, really looking at, and it doesn't matter if you're a teacher or an administrator, that we can just have a process where the student takes ownership, they understand who's affected by their decision making, we're teaching the appropriate behaviors, and then also having a consequence that's related to the behavior that was exhibited. And so just working through all that, again, it's that mind shift, but then also that practical strategy piece that Charlie and I always try to do with anything that we are talking with or are providing information, is that giving them tools that they can use tomorrow or the day that they hear it, instead of having these overarching themes that you just hope lands with someone.
And so I was taking notes as you guys were speaking, and as I've referenced many times, I've worked with you guys a lot already. And Josh, you just referenced this. This is something that I was going to share, but I just now want to reiterate is when you two are out there, and I've seen you, when you two are giving keynotes and working with districts, whether it's a welcome back day, it's a one-off, or if it's a full year-long program. You give them tools. You give them things that they can do. It's not just, hey, everybody's great. Let's all be rowing in the same direction. Let's go. It's like, okay, yes, that is also true, but here are some things that we need to be working on. Here are some tools. Here are some takeaways. Here are some KPIs. Here's some returns, what we're looking for. Here's how we can track and make sure that things are going in the right direction. And that you both said that in different ways. But that's what you do when you go out. Charlie, you talk about hope and confidence, and then talk about equipping teachers and giving them tools. All of that leads to change, and you can't do it by yourself. And so, when districts bring you in or you work with districts, you work with everybody. And what collectively, everybody working together can make incredible change. And I would love to keep going on that. I know we've spoke for hours, all of us, on a lot of these things, but I know we don't have the luxury of time right now. So I'd like to just change just a little bit. Josh, you referenced this just a moment ago. You talk about language of behavior. Now, you guys have the Language of Behavior podcast. People may not know a lot about that. Can you guys chime in and tell us what that's all about?
Hey, Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, so we didn't want to have a book, a resource out there, and then just leave it at that. We wanted to continue the conversation. And so, Brad, as you know, as an author, like you put a lot into the book, but it's not everything on the topic. And we also knew there were things that people are struggling with, absenteeism and, kids not doing their work. And there's so many other things that are not specifically addressed in the book that we still wanted to talk to. Obviously, between Charlie and I, we have a lot of years in education, a lot of different roles, a lot of different experiences, and we felt like we could still provide strategies beyond the book and give something that's free. We know educators are always struggling with finding ways to, have resources at their fingertips that don't cost a lot. And so for us, we wanted to make sure that we're providing that service beyond the book. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I always want to go to like, okay, that's great. What are you teaching me? What are you sharing with me? What are you giving me? What can I use? And so I just wanted to go back to the podcast and I'm pulling up some of the things. And so here's some of the things we've covered. Like we keep talking about why punishment's not working. Well, why? Neurologically, what's going on? So then we want to actually tell you that we need to actually use teaching, like coach the kids in the classroom because they're going to have behavior changes. You know, those kids who just keep showing up with the same kinds of behavior over and over. It's usually not all 30 or the whole class. It's not the whole class all the time, typically. Now, some of you are like, really? Well, there's a dynamic there. I get it. But typically, when you can address one or two of those kids who are really struggling with something, and instead of taking the punitive route, what else can we do? Well, we need to learn how we can handle that in other ways. So we know that, like, that's just one episode, but we're trying to address the questions that people are asking us all the time because we want to support the questions that you have. And it typically comes back to behaviors. So we want to address How do we prevent behaviors? How do we de-escalate? If you earlier, I know a lot of people already picked up that resource that has like the power, the behavior power pack. We created those things because those are the things that you're struggling with. That's why we have de-escalation strategies. That's why we have a whole guide to help you manage your classroom. Nobody teaches you classroom management, the brain development, the nervous system kind of stuff that you need to run a classroom full of little nervous systems. Trust me, it's helpful when you have that information. So that's, I mean, again, I always come back to like, what else can I give you? Well, I want you to think of this. I want to give you another tool when I talk about that nervous system. I want you to think about giving the nervous system a job. Keep that nervous system focused on something else so it doesn't show up as one of those activities that you don't like in your classroom or that reactivity. So, if you've ever listened to my stuff before, you'll know about that wheel of reactivity. We need to give that nervous system a job. So, anyway, these are the kinds of things that we cover in the podcast so that you have something that you can just take and use.
That's, I took so many notes during that. And, thinking about podcasts, so your podcast that you guys do together does a lot of things. One, it's timely. So as you were just talking about, Charlie, it's timely, meaning that, and Josh, you're just talking to people now, hearing what they want to hear. What are the current problems we're facing? We know globally the problems that education has been facing for a long time, but what is current? What is right here on our doorstep right and now? These are the things that we're dealing with. These are the tools. So you're giving away tools and strategies and all of these touch points that you guys have. So you're taking the book, you're having conversations, all these touch points. One thing I've noticed is that you're creating a community. You create a community by having this. You're bringing the book to life is something in technology that we talk about always all the time is bringing something to life. So you guys have the book, but when you two show up, you have conversations with great guests, you talk about strategies, behaviors, you bring that book to life, you bring that research, you bring that data to life. You're having these authentic conversations. And through it all, you're creating a community. It's funny, Charlie, you and I've had these conversations many times. People feel like they know you, and they do. When you go out, and it may be your first time, and Josh, you've seen this as well. This may be your first time going out to a school district or going to a conference. People there feel like they know you. And that's a wonderful thing because you already have that deeper connection when you start. And they're giving you permission to work with them and letting you in. And you're now a trusted resource. So many great things are coming out of it. I love the work you guys do. And I'm trying to keep a, eye on the clock because, I do what you guys do. I love hosting and talking and shining a bright light on people who do incredible things. So before I transition, thank you for sharing not only the book, your knowledge and the podcast, but everything you do to lift this entire community. So thank you. So I appreciate that. All right. So I could go on, but I got one more. I do want to land one more thing in here before, we start transitioning to your close and wrap up this incredible event. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you two started a cohort program. If my intel is correct, I believe you started a cohort program. Can you guys chime in and tell me more about the cohort program and how you're using it and working with schools that's helping the schools and districts with their behavior solutions? We're all faced with the challenges and this cohort program, can you tell us about it and how it's addressing that to create behavior solutions?
I was going to point at you because
How
it started, we talk about this a lot.
about I do the origin story?
Do it.
Okay. I'll do the origin story and then you can talk through kind of what that looks like. So we had a group of people that were like-minded folks that we knew were passionate, but then also came from different roles and wanted to see change. And we called it the Relationship Action Team. And we've kind of coined the phrase now, Charlie and I have the A team, right? That's the action team. And because what we're looking for is a group of folks that are going to learn, but then also take that then and implement it onto their campus. And so for us, we want to make sure that we have information that we're providing, but also that it doesn't just land there and then doesn't go anywhere from there. We want folks that are passionate, like I said, but then also motivated to take action, go onto their campus, go into their classroom, go into their office and make change happen because like you said, Brad, everyone knows that things need to change. We're in it. We're living it, and we see like that ripple effect. But what happens is people lose hope and they get frustrated and they feel kind of this idea of despair. And what Charlie and I are trying to do is to flip that on its head. So the relationship action team, what I created on the campus was instead of doing a top-down initiative, which we know typically dies, instead we flipped it and did a grassroots movement. So with that action team, what we did was that everyone that comes in, you need to be open-minded. Second of all, anything that's being presented, you need to try it. If it fails, of course, you're not going to continue it. But if it is successful, then it's something that you continue every single day. And the last step is that you share it out with a peer. If it's effective, share it with someone else and then invite them to this action team. And what happened was we started with 7 people, Brad, and by the end of the school year, we had half our staff because it just grew organically because people were seeing the effects, that you're seeing the benefit to the students. Benefits the culture of the classroom, but then it also changed the culture of the campus. So it was super easy as year two happened to say, okay, this is just a campus thing. This is just a campus initiative that we are going with every single day versus it just starting with that 7 people. And so Charlie and I have constructed this, and Charlie, you can speak to this, of finding these rock star folks to bring them in and then see just the ripple effect on their campus and in the district.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is there's so many people in your building that are going overlooked. They need to be a part of that team to champion change that we all want. And so they have skills. And I remember being a teacher and I taught about mental illness and mental health and systemic change and cultural change. And it was like my voice didn't matter because I didn't have a professional title behind my name that was like a social worker or a youth worker. I was just a teacher and I absolutely felt that way and it wasn't okay because I could have helped make more change if they would have allowed me to be a part of the team. Now, eventually that did work and I did some district work and all that. But my point is this, we need to call those people out and say, kind of like Josh Tovar said, call them out in a positive way and say, you're doing great work. We need you to be a part of this team and contribute your voice, your vision, what needs to happen. And then you formulate that team. So we are doing this work. I'm so excited that we can finally be able to do this. Been thinking about this kind of thing for a long time. And that means we get to equip the teachers, the school counselors, the social workers, any administrator, and those people who need to form the team who are ready for the change. You got to be ready and be confident that you can fail in our space, and we're going to equip you to do it the right way. So we're going to coach you all the way. But that is what we're doing right now, and it is something that is actually going to be transformative, and we're collecting the data on it, so we're going to prove it. But really, it's about building those skills and walking into those buildings with those confident people surrounding our kids.
I love it. I love it. Thank you to both of you for sharing that and all the incredible work. Some of the things that you guys shared on, as Josh Tovar said earlier, talking about culture. And obviously you listen to him, you understand the culture in that building. My wife's a principal. And so, and I for people out there going, who is this guy? I was a classroom teacher for 15 years. Now I'm doing lots of other things, but still in the education sector. But how important culture is and championing change. One of the things you mentioned, working with people. And Josh, I am so glad you shared, the story that of what you guys did in your school because it echoes, some data that I'm sure most people are familiar with. When something bad happens, or like something I experience something bad, I'll typically share that with up 10 people about something, something bad happened today, this. If something good happened to me, I typically only will share that with 2 people. That's just a general statistic. So if we could flip that and stop sharing, cut down the number of things we share that are bad, but positive, for championing change. And obviously, a lot of this is about that culture and positivity and all of that to make change because ultimately, we got to go to grassroots. We work through the administrators, but man, if we can get all the teachers and the educators to just make one small change, collectively, us as a whole, we can move mountains. So, anyways, I will stop there. I'll let you guys take back your show. I was going to start signing off like it was mine, but I won't have people trying to tune
Please.
into the for the next episode to enjoy more great people, but. thank you for letting me come in and, flip the script on you two a little bit so they could hear a little bit about you two and all the incredible work that you're doing. So thank you for having me as well.
Yeah, we're grateful. We're grateful. And
Yes.
listen, you guys, if you want to do any of that kind of work, you can just reach out to Brad. We can connect you because he can tell you more. He handles all of that logistics and stuff and can speak to it more. But we are here to support you. Like, clearly, we're here. We want to bring all of our people together and introduce them to you with their insight and their strategies. And everyone's, they're volunteering their time to be here for you. They're volunteering their time tonight. And if you've noticed, a lot of them were here at the beginning and they stuck to the end, or at least in and out, and they're going to show up tomorrow and they're giving you their resources and all their expertise because they really do care about the future of education and you.
For sure. And if you found this to be beneficial, make sure that you're sharing out the link with other people, similar to what I was just talking about with that relationship action team, right? We need to find strategies and help other folks. So if you have a colleague, a friend, whatnot, go ahead and share the link because they're going to get the replays of everything that was spoken on today. So all of the guests, they'll get those links. But in addition, they'll get some free PD tomorrow with some phenomenal folks. Charlie, I also want to mention tomorrow we're starting 30 minutes earlier. So that would be 4:30 Eastern time, with Jimmy Costas kicking us off. So they actually get an additional person speaking, powerful thing, for tomorrow. So they're going to get a ton of resources that are free, more giveaways, plus they're going to get some phenomenal folks that we've hand selected to be a part of this event.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, if it's all right, I just want to jump in one more time to make sure everybody, if you have questions about, Charlie and Josh's work, they're happy to share with you. But if you just have general questions as well, just reach out to me. You can find, they probably have my contact information somewhere. They'll share it. You can find me on Twitter, Tech Brad Wade on Twitter, X, anywhere on social media. These two do incredible work. And if you're interested in having a conversation or wanting to learn more about the work they do, and I'd love to hear about the work you guys do as well, because all of you just being here, it means so much because the work you're doing every day is incredible. I know the work that you're doing, so thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. We're trying to like put all this stuff out on social media now too. We're trying to put tips out all the time. And so like if you want more that way too, we're just trying to find all the different ways to get it out to you. So thanks for being here, you all. Josh, any last final things before we all go down in the blaze of glory tonight? Go
Oh
to
my
bed.
goodness. Yeah, well, I just appreciate it. I can see names that have been here for the entire 4-hour event, which is incredible. So we do appreciate you not only showing up, but showing up for a very, very long time with us. And so we are appreciative of all the work that you're doing, like Troy said. And we can't wait to see you tomorrow. And of course, if you need anything, if you have any questions, you need to get connected with any of our guests, please reach out to Charlie or I, and we'll make sure that we assist you any way possible. So we do appreciate all the phenomenal work that you're doing.
Awesome.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.